Good evening. For this evening's lesson, I want to look at Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1, the Apostle Paul writes, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers, making requests if by some means now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. So as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first, and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Let us pray. Precious Lord, we are so grateful, so honored, so privileged, dear God, to be able to come together, dear Lord, and sing songs unto you, Lord God, to hear your word declared, Father God, to be strengthened and edified, and just to come to an understanding of you, Father God, that we may continue in our service and continue, Lord God, in the faith, Lord God, in this great life that you have so freely given us. Bless us, dear God, to be strengthened and encouraged, Lord. Bless us to be edified, Lord God, as you will be glorified in all things. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Romans chapter 1. I didn't get to pick with David this morning about, you know, reading my notes, but he did. He touched on a lot of things that I want to talk about this evening, which is fine. You know, we're on the same page. The title of this message I want to call "The Mentality of a Living Stone." The mentality or mindset of a living stone. And that is from 1 Peter chapter 2, at verse 5. It says, "You also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Mentality of a living stone. Given our recent focus on the church, I want to continue on with that theme, specifically addressing our individual roles as members of the Lord's body. In this particular text today, the passage, the Apostle Paul lays out a pattern for us, and it is in the same pattern throughout the Scripture, and it starts with the gospel of Jesus Christ. The book of Romans is said to be the most significant and comprehensive of the Apostles' writing, explaining the message of the gospel and its practical application in our lives, both individually and as members of the local body. The Apostle Paul being our example, he certainly has the the credentials. He is, after all, the apostle to the Gentiles. He established multiple churches, and he was responsible for penning nearly half of the New Testament. So, using the Apostle Paul's example, I want to lay out three principles, or three mentalities, mindset that we are to have if we are going to contribute to the growth of the church. Now, from the text, it says, in verse number 1, in Romans 1, verse 1, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle separated to the gospel of God, which he promised before through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, who was born of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Through him we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom you also are the called of Jesus Christ. To all who are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the first thing I wanted to bring out was in the very first verse of Romans chapter 1. Paul, a bondservant. Now, the word is interesting, and it's from the Greek word doulos, and it means one who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master. One who is subservient to and entirely at the disposal of his master. See, this is the first mindset that we ought to have. A wholehearted devotion to Jesus Christ. An understanding that we are exclusively and explicitly His by virtue of the fact that He created us and by virtue of the fact that He redeemed us from our sins for that very purpose, to claim us as His own. So the mindset from the book of Proverbs, it says, trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. Don't be wise in your own eyes, but fear the Lord and shun evil. Mark Jesus in stating the number one commandment, the first and foremost of all of the commandments, Mark 12 and 30 says this, you shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul, and all of your strength. It starts there. And it ends there. Jeremiah 29 and verse 11, you will search me and you will find me if you search for me with all of your heart. So we've been talking about the church and how we are to live as members of the body of Christ, specifically those members that we want to see the church thrive. We want to be the church that the world looks at and says, this is something that I can be a part of. And how do we do that? The first thing is to have the mentality that we are exclusively His. And it really goes without saying. If you understand the Scriptures, you understand that primarily before God can even save you, you have to have a commitment in your heart that you are going to live for Him. And of course, this even comes from Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 at verse 14. It says, for the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus that since once died for all, then all died. And He died for all, that those who should live no longer live for themselves, but for Him who died and rose again. So again, back to the message of the gospel. Christ, he died and he rose that we might live, and not for ourselves, not for religion, not to our own convictions, but to live for him. A bondservant, and it's a very personal term because you are committed to the person to which owns you. And it's a voluntary commitment. It's a voluntary commitment. And no, we are not all called to be apostles, but we all are called to be bondservants of Jesus Christ. Ephesians says he called some to be apostles, some pastors, some teachers, some preachers. And there's a qualification, but we're all qualified to be bondservants. We just have to have a commitment and a desire to live for him. So Paul, right off the bat, he says, I am a bondservant before I'm anything else. I may be your apostle, but I, first and foremost, I belong to him. And Paul, in other passages, in 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20, he tells us that we were bought with a price. We are not our own. We don't belong to ourselves. Jeremiah 10 and 23 tells us the ways of man is not within himself. Later on in the book of Romans, he tells us that it is our reasonable service, in Romans chapter 12, to present our bodies a living sacrifice. We belong to him. So how was this mentality developed? See, when we open up the scriptures, we set this in our mind. The Bible says, set your mind on things above. So when we study, we're studying with that in mind. We're studying so we can understand God, so we can better serve him. We pray so we can communicate with God and better understand him. And when we serve one another, we serve with the fact that we belong to him. We serve with the fervency and the passion that we belong to him. Paul being that example, as we'll see later on in the text. So as we are seeking God, keep in the forefront of our minds that we are belong to him, and we belong to him exclusively. And all those other relationships and all those other things that are vying for our attention, we have to put them aside. And that's what he says. He said, if you don't hate your own life, you cannot be my disciples. And that's what true repentance is. So, we have that at the forefront of our mind, that we are exclusively bondservants of Jesus Christ. This goes over, and this transfers over to our relationships one with another. Watch this in verse number 8. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayer, making request, if by some means now, lest I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift, so that you may be established. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among other Gentiles. And I love verse 14. I am a debtor, both Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. God's had such a desire to live and such a desire His desire for God was so strong that he considered himself a debtor to the people of God, to the saints. He said, I am a debtor. I owe you this as a result of the love of God. He said, the love of God compels us. The love of God compels us. If we give our hearts to him, the love of God will compel us to be debtors one to another. It's amazing how that works. Because once we are grounded and established in understanding what the gospel is all about, and understanding the immense and intense love of God for the individual, for each and every soul, not just as a body, but the individual soul. Remember the story about the 99? And the one that got left behind, he loves every soul intensely and immensely. And he is ready to pour out that love. But we have to receive it by opening up our hearts and deciding that we are going to love him with our all. Then we can love the brother, and then we can take part in the lives and invest in the lives of others, because we are sharing in that love. Have we not all one Father? Have not one God created us? That's the common bond that we have. We don't have to have anything else in common. The love of God is enough to help us to grow in our love and our desire and our compassion for one another, and to see the best good for one another. The love of God can do these very things. They did it for the Apostle Paul. Because we know the story of his previous life. He was a blasphemer. He fought the church tooth and nail. He persecuted the very church. He was dragging men off to prison. He was consenting to their death. Then all of a sudden, the love of God invaded his heart. And now all he wants to do is give his life for the saints. And he did that, establishing churches all over the known world by one thing and one thing only. Verse number 15, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome. That was Paul's secret, the gospel. Paul got a hold of the gospel of Jesus Christ. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. The righteousness of God is revealed in the gospel. The love of God is revealed in the gospel. The mercy of God is revealed in the gospel. God himself is revealed in the gospel. The love of God is revealed in the gospel. Everything is evolved around this message. This message is what changed Paul's heart, going from a blasphemer to one who gave his life for the church. This message is the one that can convert each and every soul and turn us into disciples of Jesus Christ. Jesus said in John chapter 8, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed. Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. And that freedom is to love God. That freedom is from everything that would hinder you from loving God without reservation. That's the freedom that we have through the gospel. We can love one another in spite of our differences, in spite of our personalities, in spite of our background, in spite of anything, because we have the common grace of the gospel.
And he says, you all have that common grace. You are all called to this common grace. And that is the third mentality, the gospel. To learn it, to live it, to preach it, to share it with everyone that you come in contact with, because it is, after all, the power of God. And apart from the gospel, there is no power to save. We preach Christ. We preach Christ. And if we are preaching Christ, we are living Christ. And if we are living Christ, then we are impacting our world. We're not just impacting one another, but we are impacting the world around us. So through the gospel, we can have a love for God beyond anything that we can even imagine through this message. So when we study, look for that. After all, that's what it was written for you to understand the great and matchless love that God has for you, and the great and wonderful, glorious plan that He has for you. That's why the Scripture is written, and that's why we read it. That's why we study. This is why we pray. So we can understand and communicate with this God who has such a great plan for us, which only desires our good. The Bible says He will command His loving kindness towards us. It was a righteous thing for Him to save us. Though we were sinners, though we rejected Him, though we rebelled against Him, though we wanted nothing to do with Him, God, is that not good news? After all, in that state, we're bound for hell. And there's no other place to go. We are bound for hell and bound for eternal wrath and judgment against all that is contrary to God. So this message, it saves us from hell not only. And it just doesn't only get us to heaven, but it gives us a glorious life and a glorious opportunity to take part in another's salvation. So let's understand the love of God. Let's study and search out the gospel. Let's understand what it really means to be saved. Yes, we're going to struggle. Yes, we're going to have issues. Yes, we're going to fall short and stumble and sometimes even fall away. But the gospel, Paul said, is the power of God to restore, to redeem, to save, to bring joy inexpressible and full of glory, to bring a peace that passes all understanding, to help you to stand and be lights in this dark world. That's the gospel. That's Paul's gospel. And it's our gospel. It's a message that is ours, because we are His. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that has made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. All that live upon it belongs to Him. Each and every soul is His. All souls are mine. Even the soul of the Father as well as the Son. All things were created by Him and for Him, and without Him, nothing was made that was made. This God who formed every star, this God who knows every galaxy, who knows every cell in our bodies, this God gave Himself. Gave Himself. Consider these things. The love of God, the love for God, a love for the saints, and a desire to share the gospel. That is the mentality of a lively stone. And if we are the church, that is our mindset going forward. That is the way that we live. That is the way that we function on a daily basis. So let these things permeate our hearts and be grounded in the truth of God's holy word. This message of the gospel is for all, and it's a simple message. Turn to me and be saved, all ye ends of the earth, for I am God, and beside me there is no other, the prophet says the Almighty. Let the evil man forsake his way and the wicked man his thoughts, and let us turn to the Lord, for He will abundantly pardon, and to our God, and He will have mercy. God delights to show mercy. He delights to demonstrate His love. Matter of fact, that's why He created us, to shower us with His great love. He is our God. Unfortunately, people will not receive this message. It's really sad because it's such a simple message. But I believe as we grow in grace and as we come to understand the message ourselves, we can be more impactful in reaching people even when they don't understand, even when they are resistant, because someone did it for us. Someone was mature enough to sit us down and say, this is how this works. And we have the obligation to do the same as people of God, amongst ourselves and in the world. We have that duty. For as I know, everyone has named the name of Christ that is here tonight. But if there is any desire for prayer or any need that you have at this time, you may come as we stand to sing the song of invitation.